Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, Yarlis, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the second half of Independence Day week and weekend. With the holiday falling right in the middle of the week, some of us took the time off before, some are taking it after. But either way, a great time to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. Create a little envy in wherever you are, that being a campground and or your backyard. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome back to the show. Appreciate you taking another weekend hour to hang out with us. We're going to try and make it worth your while. We're going to be joined all throughout the show by the famous Latin from Manhattan. Mr. Rick Suarez is in the studio with us, and we're going to be tasting some beers, Jop.
You know, it's never a bad day when that's going on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good way to start your weekend.
Right.
You know, Independence Day, 4th of July, just kind of a cool time for everybody to spend time with family and think about maybe their country and the state of it. But I was reading something really cool that I want to bore people for just a minute and make them think. It was sent to me by a friend, and it said, have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? And when I saw that title, I said, no.
Right.
It never even crossed my mind. They were just a bunch of rich old guys who, you know, got together and decided to make a country. Well, not quite right. Five of the signers were captured by the British. Of course, they were traitors then, right? And they were tortured to death. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Now, mind you, Britain did everything they could. England did everything they could, the most powerful nation on the world, to keep this colony, right? They did not want us splitting off. So 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Two lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had two sons captured. Nine of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship in the Revolutionary War, that'd be 1812. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well-educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. That I probably never gave that enough thought. The fact that they met and did this and signed the Declaration. We always talk about the Declaration of Independence, but it's like that's just a piece of paper. No, they knew that they were going to have bounties on them immediately. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader. He saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his homes and properties to pay the debts and died in rags.
Gave it all.
That's a passion.
Gave his life and
everything.
His fortune, right?
Yeah,
man.
Thomas McKeem was hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals and soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hill, Silmer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over Nelson's home. Wouldn't that kill you? To make it his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his grist mill were laid to waste. More than a year He lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. So take a few minutes and just think about what these people did to try and have freedom and to give you the freedoms you have now when you think you don't.
Right.
I don't know of anybody that's given this much.
Right. Patriotism isn't a sin, man. Fourth of July is more than beer picnics and barbecues like we talk about. So good reminder. You know what? Good reminder, Bob. I enjoy that. And thank you. One of the freedoms that I was able to enjoy this last weekend was got to go spend some time with our friend Captain Ken from Gyra Charters over on the Saginaw Bay. He's out of Aw Gray. Mm-hmm. Got a beautiful home and in a cottage right next door that's for rent. So that you can go there and charter a fishing trip with him and walleyes.
Did you stay in the cottage?
We did. I stayed in the cottage next door. And we got up at 6 bells in the morning, stepped out to the dock, got on his charter boat, went out into the bay. He took us all the way out, checking spots on the way out, got where he wanted to be.
10 miles out like last time.
Right, yep. Yep. We put down the outriggers and the planer boards, rather, and proceeded to catch our limit plus. We were culling fish, throwing the littler ones back and the big ones. So we came away. There were four of us on the boat, and we came away with a full limit of walleyes. We caught catfish. We caught sheephead. Just a wonderful day, and we did it all before noon, and we were out of there. He got us a limit before it got super hot out there. And
what was the biggest walleye?
Actually, Michelle caught her very first walleye ever. Was our biggest one. It was about 4.5 pounds. It was like 28 inches. But most of them were in that 14 to 18 inch slot. Just perfect eaters. And I tell you what, Captain Ken is a consummate host. He's a fantastic charter captain. And he put us on fish, showed us great hospitality. If you ever want to go and do a walleye charter in Saginaw Bay, this is the guy, Gyra, J-I-R-E-H, Gyra Charters. Look him up online under that name and give him a call. He's still got spots yet this year. They're going fast, I'm sure.
So but Lake Huron, the walleye population's healthy?
Yeah, you know what? It really is, and they raised the limit to 8 from 5 last year. Nice. They did, and they dropped the size to 13 from 15 inches. So
I thought that you said 13, and that seemed kind of small.
But yeah, no, the fishery's good. We were out, like you said, 10, 11 miles into that bay, and the water temperature was 79 degrees at the surface.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was just gorgeous out there right now.
So they were down a little deeper.
No, we were only in 17 feet of water. And we, you know, you fish walleyes near the bottom,
right?
Anyway, but yeah, so they're in 17 feet of water, but the water was a little cloudy. It was perfect. You know, usually you catch more fish on a cloudy day, but
Overcast. It was
a bluebird day. Wow. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and he put us on the fish, man. Just a great deal, a lot of fun.
Hats off
to Captain Ken and Gyra Charters.
Great
organization.
How cool. So we're gonna talk a little beer. We've got Mr. Rick Suarez, the Latin from Manhattan, in studio. All right, brother.
How are you guys today?
Hey, thanks so much for taking time out of your life. You live in Battle Creek. Best to you each morning. And you made the trek up, and you are... Rick's one of those guys we're going to get into in a little bit, but I'll toot his horn because he never will. But he has really, I think, been in the beer business all your life, haven't you?
1985.
Yeah. You started with Unibrew?
I actually started for a brewery out of Hamburg, Germany called Holsten.
Mm.
And they used to do a beer in the UK called Holsten Pils that did 15 million cases a year. And we got it into America, but it was a tough nut. But I spent 6 years there. And then from there, I went to Unibrew for 12 years.
Is that beer still distributed in the U.S.?
You know, it's in Florida, and they do brief runs for a Florida importer. And not as popular as once was.
Oh.
In the UK, though, they're the Budweiser. I mean, in Hamburg, Germany, they're the Budweiser of Hamburg.
And it's called what?
Holsten. Hmm. H-O-L-S-T-E-N.
And it's a pils.
And well, they make pils, they make lagers, they make a few varieties.
Nice.
Coming up next, we're going to dive into a few different flavors of microbrew with our Latin from Manhattan. It's Rick. Stick with us. We'll be back.